Okay, this week is Parashas Noach. Eile toldois Noach. Okay, Noach is tzaddik. Rabbi, please. Noach is tzaddik tamim hoyab deroisav eselukim misalech Noach. It says over here, in this first pasuk, a lot of information. Quite a bank. First of all, about Noach, it says three different attributes. Number one, Noach was a tzaddik. Ish tzaddik, he was an ish tzaddik. Number two, it says about him that he was tamim hoya b'day roisav. He was a tam. You know the Haggadah, the Arba Banim? There are different types of...
It doesn't mean it was a simple tam.
Okay, no, who says the word? It says a tamim hoya wholesome. In the context of this pasuk, tamim means it has a...
V'yakov ish.
There he was an ish tam. In the Haggadah we have the tam. All right, but the word over here, obviously it's being used as an expression of righteousness, of something very, very positive. And the third thing it says is Esu Elokim his halechno. He was such a good person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he walked with him. He had a relationship. He obviously had a very close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know Rashi puts it down a little bit. Rashi says his halech is in the past, that Noach needed a sad. He needed a support, whereas Avram, it says, his salech lefonai, walk in front of me. Okay, but nevertheless, it says something very beautiful about Noach. He had a relationship with God. Three beautiful milois, the Pasuk mentions when we are introduced to him, a tzaddik, a tamim, and Hashem was his salech imo. Then it says that he had three children. Vayoyle Noach, shloi shavonim, eshem, Eschom v'es Yofes. Now, by the way, is this their order of birth? No. Achi Yefes Hagodol Mimenu. Who is the oldest? Yefes, who is the second oldest? I think Shem and then Chom. So Yefes was the oldest. Why is it put in this order? Good question. Why is it put in this order? That's something which is discussed, and we maybe won't even what?
Well, how they ranked as people?
How they rank Chom.
Well, the first parish is that they said because Avram came from Shem, so they give him...
First, but what about Chom? Why Chom? Why Chom is second, and why is Yefes third? Okay, we're going to really try to answer that in a second. But over here, this is not their birth order. This is an order which has been presented by for some reason. Rashi says, Rashi, now let's go. So they have two, let's we're going to focus on the two psukim. First two psukim is this, we have Noach. We have 1 second, let me just clear the ear here. Okay, we have over here three. We have two. We have toledos. So the word toledos is a very difficult word, because if the first pasuk is describing Noach as being number one a tzaddik, number two being tamim, number three being has the maila of es hoelakim his halech Noach. What's the word toledos doing here? So Rashi acknowledges that the word toledos is usually used in reference to progeny. Okay, that's the normal use of the word toldos means you have children, and Rashi says hoyel first. Rashi says hoyel v'skiru tzibur b'shvachay shnemar zeicher tzak levracha davracher. So Rashi addresses the word toldos l'lam to teach you sheikur toldos sehem shel tzadikim ma'asim tovim. You would think that a person's toldos, his legacy, are his children. That's what you, we would think. But it's not necessarily true, because sometimes people have children who they're not proud of.
So that's why it's spelled without a vav.
Yeah, that's I told you.
So the toldos are not the children. It's without a vav to indicate that we're not focusing on the pshuta shel mikra, a person's progeny. We're focusing on his masim toivim. Because the ikur toldos same shel tzadikim are their good deeds. But I want to challenge that, at least homiletically, with a famous expression that we say often at a bris milah, kishem shenichnas lebris, ken yikones, l'toira ulechupa ulemasim tovim. Everyone asks the obvious question. These three items in the blessing are out of order. Person, kishem shenichnas, ken yikones l'toira, okay, toira comes right away. Torah tzivalanu Moshe Marashokilas Yaakov. When a child is able to speak, the first thing he's supposed to teach him to say is Torah tzivalanu Moshe. Okay, You want to mispal that this child should get married. It's no joke. You go to Bris Mila, you should close your eyes and say this with a lot of kavana. It would save a lot of, it would solve the shirch crisis. If only we would be mispal with kavana. Kashem, shnichna, ken yikonis l'toira ulechuba. For every boy, there's a girl. And maybe, you know, we have kavana. At the very early Chazal instructed us to be mispalal for sheduchim immediately. When the child is 8 days old, already we're being mispalal l'toira ulechuba. Haloi davar. People think, oh, I'm not going to worry about sheduchim until my son's 22 years old. The girl, until she's a whatever, 20 years, I'm not going to think about this. Oh, that's not what Chazal had in mind. Chazal told you to be mispalal for sheduchim immediately. When you name a girl, you make them yishaberach. So immediately you say, kashem, you say, what do you say? You say also, L'toira ulechup, L'toira uleben toira ulechupa ulemaisim toivim. Immediately, both by a girl and by a boy, the moment they are born, Chazal were clever in reminding you it's never too late to start to be mispalel to Hashem that everything should go correctly and it should be easy for them to get married. It's never too early, right? It's never too early, correct? What I say, never too late, never too early, never too early to be mispalel for shidduchim.
Why does the Eila told us?
Oh, okay, now, Abraham? Okay, wait, I'm going to come one thing at a time. So now we understand. G'shem shnichnas l'biskin kodnis l'toru l'chopa, and then it says ulamaisim toivim. So everyone asks the obvious question. Maisim toivim, you expect a young man, a young woman, to have maisim toivim before they get married. Marriage takes place a little bit later in life. Already when they're young, they're children, when they're bar mitzvah, when they're teenagers. Isn't that a time when they should show signs of maisim toivim? So shouldn't it be kashem shnichnas lebriskin yikonis l'toira ula maisim toivim ula chuba? Isn't that the correct order? So this is a very good question, and there's a lot. There are many answers. And one answer that I personally find to be very, very satisfactory is Chazal say, Ezehu Maisim Toivim Shel Adam. What is the ultimate Maisim Toivim of a person? The Gemara says, Bnehem, their children. When a person raises a child, a person has a child, it's an enormous effort to raise them, to be mechanech them. The Chinuch Habanim is a person's ultimate Maasim Tovim. Well, you just have a child, get married, have a child, and that's it. And you let the child just run wild, like weeds. That's not the way it goes. People, serious people, invest enormous, enormous effort, time, money, and they lose sleep thinking, worrying how to properly be mechanech their children. And other people, Rachman al-Islan, they let children grow like weeds in the backyard. They don't pay any attention to what goes on.
And as much as you work on it, it doesn't always work out the way.
There's no guarantees for nothing. We all know that. But generally speaking, you speak to the experts, the impression you get is there are no guarantees. There are parents who do everything correctly, everything b'liyotzim min haklal, and unfortunately, it doesn't work out. And there are parents that let their children, they don't raise their children. They're just animals in the street, and yet they turn out to be gems. But if you read all of the magazine articles and these inspirational speakers, it appears that those are exceptions. Generally, al derech hateva, you get what you put in. You spend the time, the effort in teaching children how to behave, what's right, what's wrong, spending with them not just quality time, but quantity of time. You'll have good children. Generally, there are no guarantees. We all know that, good and well. But generally, you get what you put. You'll take out what you put in. So that is the ultimate ma'asim tovim. So therefore, when you mispalel for a child, when he's born, you know what you mispalel? May this child become a ben toira. May he get married, and may he have children. May the cycle continue. Kashem shnichnas kin yikonis l'toira ulechupa, he should get married. And after he gets married, not before, after he gets married, he should have children. and he should raise those children to be upstanding individuals in society. That's the Maisim Tovim. It's a Feirush Gemara. Ezel Maisim Tovim Shaladam Hevi Omer Zeh Bnei Bonim Bneihem. It's a Feirush Gemara. The Iker Maisim Tovim of a person is his koyach in raising children. So you mispalel, may the cycle continue. Over here with Zoich at this moment to have a child. Halavai, this child should also have a child. A child of Torah, chuppah u'maisim tovim. So what do you see from that? You see that the toldos, so Rashi said, what are the toldos? Rashi over here says, look at, now you take that idea and read the Rashi, and then the whole Rashi becomes circular. Rashi says, why does it say the word toldos? L'lamducha she'ikur toldos sehem shel tzadikim are ma'asim tovim. What are ma'asim tovim? Their own children. So what are their own children? Shem Cham and Yafes. So if Shem Cham and Yefes, so what does it say over here? Again, Tzadik, Ish Tzadik, Tamim, Haya, Bidara, Ezelakim, Salach Nach. We're going in circles. If you're going to accept the drush that the Iker Ma'asim Tovim Shel Adam is his children, so Rashi says, what is it that we're told us? Told us automatically means children. So Rashi, no, here it doesn't mean children. Here it means that Noach was a Tzadik. Noach was an Ish, was Tamim Haya, Bidara, and Noach was no, that's not the Maisim Toivim of a person. The Ig Maisim Toivim is that Noach should raise children to go in his ways. We're going over in circles. If you want to accept what I said literally, the word Maisim Toivim from the Bris Mila means children. So it doesn't. So that, over here, that doesn't mean that. Here it means that the Ig told us of a person is that he's a good person. And halavai, halavai, you should be zeichet to have good children as well. But the primary thing is a person should be a good person. No, the Iker is to raise children, not tzaddikim.
If it means to raise children, it should have said to raise
it
children.
It does say, it says toldos.
But Masim Toivim doesn't seem to imply children.
Yeah, but in the Nusach of the Tzvila that we say, Keshem Shnich Nas Tabriz, Ken Yikonis L'Toro L'Chub L'Masim Toivim, there L'Chorid means children. V'Horai, the Gemara says it means children. Ezehu Masim Toivim Shalodam. So here I want to tell you a Chiddush. I'll try to bring out a point. Whether you like it or not, I can't speak. We have to acknowledge, we don't really know who we are. No one knows who they are until they're tested. Okay, we don't really know. You know, during the Holocaust, you can't blame anyone. No one's chasham. It was a trauma beyond any experience we've ever had in the entire history of the world. And people came out of the Holocaust confused, shell-shocked. How does this happen? And people reacted differently. People, we don't have to elaborate. There are people that could not deal with this, and they no one's to blame them, chas v'shalom. And it took them many years until they were able to come back to be shomer Torah mitzvahs. There were people who lived the lifestyle of being, you know, a chassidish lifestyle, and after they adopted a different type of lifestyle. There were people that were irreligious, who became religious. And no one's to judge, but when a person goes through trauma and he's challenged, then the person looks deep into himself. Who am I? Who am I really? No one came out the same. No one who went through the Holocaust came out the same. Anyone who survived the Holocaust was a different person, in all different ways. And no one knows, just because a person wasn't religious doesn't mean that he's not a Ben Olam Haba. Maybe what the Holocaust did for him, we don't know. No one's to chas v'shalom. You don't know who you are until you're tested. Noach and his children experienced the ultimate trauma. The world was destroyed. There was nothing left. There was a churban, mabul, Rashi says, bilbul hakol, bila hakol. The whole world came to a complete end. Noah comes out of the teva. There's nothing. Can you imagine a whole world, a complicated civilization? Who even knows? Who knows what kind of technology they had in those days? We have no idea what they knew.
Understand. How do you understand that there just there was no model?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Let's just do push up shot. It was a marble. Chazal, very, very clear. The world came to an end. The whole world was destroyed. It was a sophisticated, complex world, possibly much more sophisticated, much more complex than the world that we have today. and it was obliterated to nothing. And there were only a few survivors. They were traumatized. They came out of the Teva different people. And we know Noach had a very difficult life after the Mabel. He vayochel Noach ishu adama. He was chazal. They use words that would seem to say that he was depressed. And instead of focusing on spirituality, he began to first focus on chulin. And he planted the vineyard. Chazal criticized him. V'chulu v'chulu. Vayiskal b'soich oholoi. And then the Maisa with Kenan, he was traumatized. Kenan and Shem and Yefes were also traumatized. And they reacted differently. Okay, the one that was the most noble was Shem. Shem covered...
You mean Chom, not Kenan, Chom.
I'm sorry, Chom. Right, Chom. Or Kenan, the child, he was cursed. Chom. Chom behaved in a horrible way. He saw the Erva Saviv. He didn't do anything, and in fact, he castrated his father. Chazal say he did a terrible avera, and he didn't do anything. He didn't want to take away his shame. Shame and Yefes, they acted with nobility. Shame more than Yefes. This story of what happened to Noach and his three children after the Mabel was a revelation of how the trauma of the Mabel affected them. All four of them went through, in the beginning, were cruising along. They went through this horrific event. They were tested, they were challenged, and they were affected in a different way. And this story, which occurred after the Mabel was over, revealed the results of the trauma, how it affected them. Shame is pretty good. Chom, pretty bad. And Yefes, Goldilocks. Not too hard, not too soft. Okay, right in the middle. Right in the middle. So I want to suggest to you the following Yichidish. Eile toldos Noach. Who is Noach? These are the judges. Let's put aside the word toldos for a moment. Chazal tells us Noach had three milas. Mitzad echad, Noach had the mila, he was a tzaddik. Mitzad sheni, Noach was tamim hoya b'doyos, a very beautiful midah. Just because you're a tzaddik doesn't mean you're tamim, you're wholesome. A tzaddik is hard to define the word a tzaddik. Tzaddik, you are nisyonos in life, you have to make decisions, but you can be a shrewd conniver also. End of the day, you make the right decision, you're Amid bin Nisayin, but just because you're a tzaddik doesn't necessarily mean that you have a mid of tmimus. We all know people that are very good people, but you don't cross their path. Because, you know, they'll give you an earful. They make good decisions in life, but there's a lack of tmimus. There's a certain wildness, there's a certain mahalach, which you would not say they're tmimim, whatever the word means. And then there are people, Zamayla es Elokim Hishalach Noach. Hashem's always there for this person. Hashem, he goes with Hashem. That doesn't say he makes the right decisions. It doesn't say that he's Tomim, but he has a relationship. Somehow he's able to kvetch and connect to Hashem. It's not with Tmimus, it's not with the right decisions, but he's a spiritual person that's able to make that connection. This was Noach. It's very common. You read this hadaris when a person comes time to leave this world, and he has assets. Let's say a person, he would own Facebook, and Twitter, and Google, and it comes time for him to leave the world, and he has three children. So he was a mastermind, a genius. He went, let make believe, make a world of fantasy. A person was such a genius. He created these three companies, and he has three children. It's very normal in this world. I'm leaving this world, so you know, to my oldest son, Jack, you get Twitter. to my younger son, Bill, I'll give you Google, I'll give you this, whatever. And to Johnny, I'll give whatever, another company. You divide your assets and you split it up among your children. That is true in your spiritual accomplishments as well. I want to suggest that Noach worked his whole life on acquiring these three midos: being a tzaddik, being tamim, and Elokim ishalech Noach. And Noach looked at his children, and he saw what they're capable of, and he gave to each child. He trained each child with a different midah, because this is what they were mesugal. This is what their neshama was ready. Noach, you know, niskatnu haderes. Noach was able to have all three. He had this all the time. Yeah, have a big rashiv, a big personality. Yes, accomplishes everything, and you divide up. Each one gets a certain miktsaya. Shame received the attribute of tzaddik. Chom was a tamim. Good. Before the marble, he was a tzaddik. There's no question about that. And Yefes received the midah es ho'elokim hishalach. And it fits with toldos. Eile toldos. Toldos mitzad echad means your ma'asim tovim. And it also means like by a bris milah. Kishem shnichnas lebris. Ken yikarnes. Letoira ulechob ulema'asim tovim. Ezer ma'asim tovim shel adam. Bonim. So say bonim. No, you train your children to do ma'asim tovim. To shame, Noach trained him, be a tzaddik. Be a tzaddik. Make the right decision. You have a nisoyon in life. You can do the wrong thing, the right thing. You can have Yerushimayim, not Yerushimayim. Be a tzaddik. Chom, that wasn't his thing. Chom was a different type of person. He gave the midah of tamimos. Be a tam. Be wholesome. Be, there's a certain naivete. In the time, you could be very good. You just like, everything is good. Everything is good. Don't deal, you know, when you say a tzaddik has a connotation, there's a struggle. And you have to fight. Tam, as long as everything is good, you know, just accepting. Be accepting. And Yefes was a different personality. And to him, Noach bequeathed the need of Es Ho Elokim Hishalich. You go with Hashem. Doesn't mean you're going to be a tzaddik. It doesn't mean you're a tamim, but you have this relationship with Hashem. When Hashem is with you, you'll be good. Just tag along with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a different mahalich. Okay? Until the marble, everything was fine. Until the marble came along, until the trauma, they were almost 100 years old. Noah had children when he was 500 years old, so they were 100 minus. Whatever, 198, 96, whatever their ages were, they were all in their 90s. And the world was operating smooth. The world continued to turn, everything was working fine, and when people would go, oh, let's go to the tzaddik, shame for a bracha. Go there, oh, let's go visit Chom, it's a Grois Rebbe, who's like mayor, who's a Grois Rebbe. They would say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean just. Oh, I'm sorry, Simon. Sorry. Just trying to wake everyone up. Okay, just wake everyone up. They went, let's go to Chom for a bracha. Ah, he's a Tamim. Let's go to Yefes for a bracha. Oh, yeah, you know Yefes. I got a bracha from Yefes. Yefes, he's the man who they say about him. Es Elokim hishalach Yefes. You go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Tsar HaTorah. They invented a new title. Whoever heard this title? The Tsar HaTorah. They said about Abshaila. He was the wonder, the Yiddish expression, the Tuchita, how do they say this? The miracle rabbi. Okay, in English it's translated, they have a Yiddish word for it. Even though, the Tuchita, I don't know how to pronounce it. Everyone knew the Rabbi Shaila ben Ramesha, the Keristira Rebbe, as the Wonder Rabbi. That was his term. That's how it was translated in English. The Wonder Rabbi. The miracle. Hungarian. No. Rabbi Shaila had this unique title. The Miracle Rabbi. Even the Goyim, it says in the book here that so many Goyim, Adin Shir would come to him. Goyim, he was known as the Miracle Rabbi. Everyone has the
Chuchita.
What?
Chuchita?
Could be. I don't know the expression. Everyone has a different title because everyone has a unique. They didn't call Rabbi Shaila the Sar HaTorah. He was not known to be the Sar HaTorah. Sorry, he was known to be the miracle rabbi. They didn't call Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky the miracle rabbi. Somehow, everyone has a certain. They leave their impression upon this world. Shame, it's a tzaddik. Chom, tomim. He was an ishtam, like Yaakov Avinu. Ishtam. Yefes, he's the man you go to. Es ho Elokim, hishalech, Yefes. These are the toldos. The two words go hand in hand. Noach had children. And Noach had midos toivos. And Noach selected each one of his three midos, and he trained each one of his children. You are mesugel to carry the legacy of tzaddik. Unfortunately, each one of you, you're not great enough to carry all three. That's the way it goes. Sometimes the children are not as great as the father. This is the best that we can do here. He had three children, each one he was able to give a business to. To you, I'm going to give the midah of tzidkus, to you the midah of tamimus, and to you the midah of esolakim ishalach. And until the marble, it was smooth sailing. Each one was in a holy, holy person. And then came the Holocaust. And they were shaken to the core. And they were tested. They were challenged. And the challenge tested their training. Shame, that was trained to be a tzaddik, he was not trained to be a tam. He was not trained in that neither. It wasn't his niche. He came out fine. Tzaddik generally means a person, number one, there are two things, it's a very complicated term, but we do know there are two things about a tzaddik. From Yosef HaTzaddik, we know he was the only one that is called Mechazal. Not the only one, but he's called much more than others with the term tzaddik. Moshe is called a tzaddik. There are a lot of people that are called tzaddikim, but the one that really gets the cake is Yosef. And Yosef was oimed in the nisoyon of Eshes Potiphar. Okay, Yosef also, v'hu hamashpir, he was a provider, a person that takes responsibility for others. Okay, whatever a tzaddik is. But Yosef wasn't a tam. He was no tam Yosef. He knew how to fight with his brothers. He went to his father, told his father's lashon hara about the brothers, the Ineiv Menachai. He tells him about the dreams. He led the Egyptians. He was a conniver. You're going to say he's a tam. A tam doesn't go, and when your brothers show up, meraglim atem. You're meraglim, all of you people, you're a bunch of meraglim, you're coming to spy the land, I'm going to lock you up, and I'm going to put the goblet. He tells his butler, go put the goblet in this one sack. He's quite a conniver, Yosef. You're going to tell me that Yosef is a tam? No way. A tam doesn't go when he sees his brothers and say, meraglim atem, and make a whole charade, a whole ganze maisa. He's not going to be, when he's 70, he's not going to be playing with his hair. Mesalsel Besara. Yosef has a good. Knows how to enjoy life. He knows how to get around. He knows how to maneuver. A tam doesn't know how to maneuver. A tam just sits there. You know, wholesome person. It's Yosef. You don't call him a tam. Yosef was a tzaddik. Shame was trained to be a tzaddik. Make the right decisions. When there are nisyonos, have the fortification in your neshama to be omed in the Sionis. Yefes was a man es Elokim Hishalich. Yefes, Elokim Hishalich Noach, just tag along with God. You don't have to make the right decisions. You don't have to be a tam, but you know, attach yourself to God. Just attach yourself. You know, keep the religion, keep the faith to some degree. Go to church once a week, Sunday morning. Go with the flow, but acknowledge the existence of God, monotheism. Go with the flow. Now, until the marble, it was easy. There was no challenge. You had three greiser rebbes. They were tzaddikim, but then came the marble. They were challenged. Shem that was challenged, in the, that was trained in the midah of being a tzaddik, isn't it amazing? He came out with no damage, no baggage. I mean, whatever that means. He came out okay. From him came Klal Yisrael. He wasn't damaged by the Holocaust. Chom, he was trained to be a tam. We learn from this. I mean, I'm trying to say chiddush. I don't know what I'm saying is true. I'm just thinking out loud with you. I'm telling you this whole idea. He was trained to be an ish tam. That's wonderful. It's a tamimus. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. No, aren't we required to be that? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. It's a beautiful midah. Yeah, it's a very good midah as long as everything is going okay.
Yaakov but when was called an ish tam, and he certainly didn't have an okay life.
What?
Yaakov was called an ish tam. Yaakov
ish tam in Achanai, but Yaakov was also a tzaddik, was also a lakim ishalich.
And that description is early on.
It's early on. You have to. What I'm saying is not complete. I'm trying to present some basic ideas. The Torah tells you to be a tam. Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. But that's not the whole picture. There's more. Mo Hashem Elokecha shomi akim liyira oisai. Okay, you're not going to tell me that an Orthodox Jew has to live with as a lakim. How many psukim are you telling you? You have to see Hashem in front of you all the time. There are many dimensions, but there are certain dimensions that they take center stage. And sometimes if they're not balanced with other elements, so as long as everything is good, it's good. But when you're tested, you better make sure you have all those nutrients and chemicals in your body to make sure you can withstand the storm. Noach had three children. Noach had alamilus. He was the perfect person, to a degree, whatever that means. And now he has children. And he's chanoich lanar al pi darkoi. He gave over to his children his midos. He gave to Shem, be a tzaddik. Focus on that. Don't worry so much about tamim tiyeh. You can't have it all. That's a lesson in life. You can't have everything. You have to have priorities. What are you mesugel for? Tamimus. What are you mesugel for? You're not going to be a tzaddik, yefes. I see who you are. But at least have a relationship. Call God once a week. Let him know you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then came the Nisayon. And who came out with the least damage? Shem. He came out with the least damage. Who came out with the most damage? Chom. Tamimus, when it's not properly balanced with tzidkus, with the ability to be oimed in Nisayonis, without the ability to whatever it means, hisalech elokim, to walk with God, you know, it can turn on you. The tamimus can say, you know what? What do I need this for? What do I need this for? You rachmanalus on a person can go to an extreme and just the tamimus is very dangerous. People that are tamimim, they can be manipulated. You see, they're very so as long as they're properly protected in a seviva, everything is good and they become extremely great. But if they're not sheltered by other people taking care of them and they're left all alone, we like to translate the word of Tam as naive. So as long as you have a good Rebbe and tells you, this is what you do, everyone is guarding you, everything is good. But you don't have the Rebbe telling you what to do, what not to do, and you see a world that's very dark and ugly, Rachmana Litzlan, it can lead to a very dangerous. Tanimus has to be tempered with the Nisyonas being trained in dealing with the midah of tzidkus and being trained in the midah of walking with God no matter what. Even when you're in Russia, you walk with God. And if it's not properly packaged with everything that you need, you're in a lot of trouble. Memela, number one, this explains the order. Torah tells us the order. Eile Toledos. Toledos means two things. It means children. Make no mistake about it. Number two, it means, Rashi says, Ma'asim Tovim. We are combining these two Perushim together. Number two, it says here he had three children in a certain order, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Number three, it says that Noah had three midos. He was a tzaddik. He was Tamim Hoya Bidoy Reisav. Number three, Eshu Elokim Ishalech Noach. Take everything that we just said, all of these components, and put them together. And what does it mean? Noach had all the milas. He had three children, and he dished out to each child one of his midas. He gave to Shem the midah of Tehi Tzadik Val Tehi Rasha. He gave to Chom the midah of Tamim Hoya Bidoy Reisav, and he gave to Yefes the midah of Eshu Elokim Ishalech Noach. And for approximately 100 years, smooth sailing. Noach was there to guide them, to protect them, to shepherd them with the world. And then came the Holocaust. And they were tested. And Shem, it's a revelation for us. The one that had the midah of tzaddik, survived with no baggage. The one that had the midah of tamimus and was not sheltered, was not tempered or packaged or supported with enough of tzaddik and his saleich, did not. The results were very traumatic. He left the fold. And the one that was trained to be religious, no matter what. Not bad. I mean, not, yes and good, you know. Most of the religious world. You have to go study. It becomes all you know, the Yafta Lakim Li Yafes, the Yishkin Baal Eshem. They have what to contribute.
Are you born to resist the influences, or are you
It's a combination of both. A person obviously has a natural disposition to certain things because of his DNA, because of who he comes from, but it's no free pass. You have to work and study and work on yourself. It's a combination of both.
DNA is not strong enough to
No, resist. No such thing as DNA. Some people get lucky. It all depends on the circumstances. Everything,
Hashem,
we know that.
Last week, Hashem told Cain, if you work on it, you have
the Imitative says. All the Yisoides are in that pasuk. So it's interesting. We have a Chazal. Chazal tell us about a fetus in his mother's womb. And Chazal tell us with the fetus, there's no time in life when a child sees as such tainug in this world like the time when it's in its mother's womb. And it sees me soif oilam at soifai mi. And he learns Kol HaTorah Kula. And when everything is finished and he's about to come into this world, what does it say in the Gemara Masechta Nida? The Malach says to him, okay, I taught you Kol HaTorah Kula. I prepared you for this. It's now time to take a Shavua. What's the Shavua? Is the Shavua, I want you to fulfill Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. Nope, that's not the Shavua. Is the Shavua a pasuk in the Torah that would match? I have to figure out the pasuk that would match Eshu Elokim Hishalech Noach. No. You know what the Shavua the Malach says to the child? You want to survive the world? You're about to come out to the world? Tehi Tzadik Va'al Tehi Rasha. That's the Shavua. Nothing else. Where did the Malach get that from? Where did the Malach know to say to man, this is the Shavua? There are other beautiful psuk and midos that we can dwell upon. Tamim tiyem shem lokecha. Okay, v'yohavta es Hashem lecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshu b'chol miyodecha. V'yu ha'advar mo'eila shanochem etzal chayim alavecha v'shem. Why not focus on the love Hashem and v'holachta b'durachav. Right? Mamash, alakim esalach noach. V'holachta b'durachav. Nu ma'a torach ma'a. Ze keili v'anveyu. Hevei doim eloi. Why not? Because we have the Malach learned Parshas Noach. And the Malach looked at three people. Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Very different personalities. Shem got the midah of Tzadik. Chom got the midah of Tomim Tiyeh Mashem Elokecha. And Yefes got the midah of Es Elokim Ishalech V'Holach Bidrochav. And then they suffered trauma. And which one survived?
Shame.
Memela, that's what you got to focus on. That's the Musar. When you come into this world, Tehi Tzadik, V'al Tehi Rasha. If you'll be a Tzadik, everything else will come in, will in the right time, in the right. But the Ikar Mida is Noyach Ish Tzadik, the Mida of Tzidkus, which is a different Mida than Tamimos. It's a different Mida than Es Elokim Hisalech. That's what you need to survive. So that's our idea. We're taking all these things and putting it together. Told us children, Meis and Tovim, three children. He gave one meter to each child. And then came the test. And look at the results. And that is a Musa Haskel to us to be tzaddikim, because the meter of tzaddikim is the meter that guarantees survival. Okay, let me show you another, some short things, a few other things. One, it says over here in the Pasuk, that Vatimole Ha'aretz Chamas. Hashem says to Noach, Vatishacheis Ha'aretz Lefneho Elokim Vatimole Ha'aretz Chamas. The earth was filled with Chamas. How do we translate that Pasuk? So what does the Taka say over here in the Targum? It's just the words. V'is Mili'as Ara Chatoifin. The earth was filled with grabbers. Chatoifin. I'm not even sure how the exact precise translation is. It's very relevant. So is the Targum translating it in reference to the person? Or is it mean, it says chamas. Chamas means theft, gezel.
Or violence.
Violence, what does Rashi say? Gezel. Rashi is one word. Chamas is gezel.
Which is theft. The definition. It's not geneva, it's gezel.
Gezel. So here's the problem. Here's my question. I think the average person, when they look at these words, and like many, many psukim, hundreds of psukim in Tanakh, it's called a mikra kotsar. It's a short, there are missing words in the pasuk. We all know that Lashon HaKodesh is written very bekitzer, and when you translate a pasuk in Chumash into English or to any language, you have to add a lot of words. A mikra kotsar. So what does it mean? The earth was filled with violent people who committed the crime of theft. Right, it says Vatimole Haaretz Chomos. Rashi says the word Chomos means theft. Gezel. One word Rashi. Vatimole Haaretz Gezel. What do you mean Gezel? Gezel is an object that has been stolen. Here's a tissue box. How'd it get here? Because someone went and they stole it. Someone went in the middle of the night and they broke into a store and they stole it and they came here and they put it on the table. That's what it literally means. The earth was filled with objects that were stolen. What? No, that's not what the pasuk means. Everyone in this room will say that they've been taught in kindergarten. The pasuk means the earth was filled with people who had no morals, had no values, and they would go and they would steal things from one another. The issue is not the objects. The issue is man's behavior. So Hashem says, this can't go on. Isn't there a repetition over here? The next pasuk says about the people. Kol basar, they're derech. So you're going to put the two pasukim together. Previous pasuk is, what was the evil way of man, the derech? Well, you say they were arayos. And the previous pasuk says that the word gezel. So the word gezel means that the problem was that the people in society lost any sense of morals and they went around stealing from one another. But that's not what it says. I know you want to say it's a bigger cause, so you want to embellish the pasuk, but if you want to take the pasuk literally, it means gezel. So what does the pasuk really mean to say? Pasuk says the world cannot continue. If people are stealing, so you know something, maybe we can have a dynamic, charismatic leader that will come along and will get up. JJ, what's his name? JJ Jacobson. Will come along, give a fiery drusha. And will inspire Rubenstein. Any other letters that go together? There's YY and JJ. And JJ Schachter also, JJ Schachter. JJ Schachter, YY Rubenstein, JJ Jacobson. Any other one people add to the club? What? Didi, Rav, a singer. Didi.
No.
BB. BB. BB, the prime minister. Didi, the singer. Ever know Didi, the singer? No, you don't know Didi, the singer?
That's Deddy. That doesn't.
Deddy. Oh, Deddy. Okay, that's no good. Okay. So yeah, BB, JJ, YY, the all-star team. The all-star team. All, I'm sure you can add some more to your collection. Okay, so we'll have some people, and they'll come and they'll teach people, you know, you have to do teshuvah. Okay, maybe they'll be up. The problem was, the world came to a point, you can't even sit down on a chair. The chair you're sitting down on was stolen. The table you're sitting at was stolen. The computer you're looking at is stolen. The microphone was stolen. Every product of the earth was created, was presented, is in your possession only through theft. The point is as long as there are people, there's a world, and there are people. So if they're misbehaving, okay, so you can train them. You have to train them. The world was corrupted to such a degree where you can't even live in the world because all of the products of the earth are products that have come through illegal activity. Now, Me'ikar HaDin, the Gemara says a thing called Takonas Morish. You ever hear that expression in the Gemara? Takonas Morish. What is Takonas Morish? Me'ikar HaDin, if a person steals lumber, you go in the middle of the night, and you go to Ace on Ocean Avenue, and you clean out all the lumber. And you take all the lumber, and you build a house. So the halacha is, then one day you're choizer b'shuva. So as long as the object that you have stolen is still intact, you have to return it. So what do you have to do? You have to take the home that you have created with all that lumber, all the beams, disassemble the beams, and return the beams in their original state back to the hardware store. When you tell this to a Baal Teshuva, he's going to say, no way. I'm not going to go and take apart my house and bring back all the beams to the lumber yard. No way. I'm not doing that. It's too much work. So Chazal said, okay, you know what? You're right. It's not going to happen. So we make something called Takonas Morish. If you already went so far to build, to put the beam in your home, even though you can see it, like let's say someone stole all of these light fixtures. So just take them out of the ceiling, put them back in the box, and bring them to the store. Too much effort. Because it's too much effort, Chazal said, you know what? You know what? You don't have to take it apart. You know what? Takana, give back money. Keep it, and just give back the money. Because it's too difficult. But Me'ikor HaDin, you are required to take the lights out of the ceiling, the beams, and actually disassemble and bring the objects back to where they came from. But you have to do that. Only because people are not going to do it, they made a takana. The time of Noah was before the time of Takonas Morish. I don't even mean that, but the point is that the world got to a point where the world cannot function. Because how do you expect a person to succeed in this world where everything that he has is a product of Gezel? I always say this in the Musaf. A person raises money. You know, it's very interesting about I read the biography. It's a fascinating biography written by Yisrael Besser about Rabbi Shaila, the Kerestir Rebbe.
The word is Chacha the Rebbe.
Chacha?
Chacha the Rebbe.
Chacha the Rebbe.
It's Hungarian.
The Wonder Rebbe. So I read this book, the book of Rabbi Shaila be Kerestir. It is a fascinating book. It really is. Everything said and done, all the jokes, it's a fascinating book. And he collected, he distributed enormous, enormous amounts of money. He collected and distributed. And over in the book, he writes is that when someone gave him money, he had this Ruach HaKodesh to right away detect the percentage-wise, how much of this money is really honest money? And how much money is gezeila? It's unethical. You know, there are different madregas. There's money that's honest, but it's not ethical. There's money that you swindle, you force someone to give you the money. Yeah, they gave it. Everyone appreciates this. There's all different types of money. There's money that's earned with emuna, with your shemayim. And someone came into his room, many stories, like hundreds of stories, came into his room, and they had a massive pile of money on the table. And he needed tzedakah. And like he said, Rebbe, give me, he says, this money is not even enough money to light the furnace for 5 minutes. Millions of dollars, what could it buy me? It can buy me a log to put in the furnace that can burn to heat up the oven for 5 minutes. Because the money you see here was all earned, I detect, it's not honest money. And if it's not erlich money, you can't expect you're going to have siyata deshmaya. You're coming here to me, you want money, you need to feed your children, you need money to pay the rebbeim to teach Torah. Do you really think I'm going to give you this money and you're going to pay the rebbeim? The rebbeim are going to have siyata deshmaya in instilling in their talmidim yirah shemayim. I have here millions of dollars on the table. The money is garbage. You know where this money came from? It came from illegal activity. It came from unethical activity. You think I'm going to give you this money and the rebbeim or the yeshiva is going to be a place that's going to produce, it'll produce rebbeim that will teach the kids to go off the derech. The rebbeim will cause the kids to go, they'll go, the rebbeim will smack a kid and the kid will go off the derech and blame the rebbe forever and ever. You know why? Because the money is gezel. Now today, there's no one in the world that can say this. Today, we don't live in a generation, obviously, where we have the koyach to say such things, because other out today, they'll take money wherever it comes from. Just take, right? Today, we live in a different world. But go back generations before, there were such people who had this koyach. Look at Bezalel in the Beis HaMikdash, L'choy Shrei Machashavis. Every person that gave a donation for the Mishkan, Bezalel knew Api Ruach HaKodesh, the degree of sincerity, the money was given and the purpose, and he would take that money and would use it for different things. The money that was the ultimate sincere, with sincerity, would be used for the Oren HaKodesh. And the money that wasn't the best intentions would be used for the chotzer on the outside. Everything was divided based upon Ruach HaKodesh, understanding the degree of sincerity, honesty, where the money came from. The world reached a state. Forget about the people. Forget about the people, the people's behavior, because people's behavior can be changed. People can change their behavior. Person is a bal aveira, he's a ganav. He's an addict. So Baruch Hashem, today there's a lot of medication and there's therapy and there's this and there's that and v'chulu v'chulu. You can work with people. But when the institutions of society are built with bricks that have been stolen, the fiber of the infrastructure of society is gezel. Is a product of gezel. There's no siyata d'shamaya in the world functioning to bring about kivoyt shemayim. If the world is pure, pristine, and people are misbehaving, you can take the people and you can work with them. You can send them for therapy. You can send them to a musa yeshiva, have a shmuz, have a mishol salanter, he'll strain them out. But when society already has gone many, many years where the product of these people has infiltrated into the fabric of the infrastructure, you can't go and redo the infrastructure. You can't go build new bridges and make new cars and build, pave new roads. The asphalt of the ground is gezel. When the pasuk says kimolo ha'aretz, the earth, it doesn't say in the pasuk that the earth is filled with people who are ganavim. I know that's the simple interpretation of the mikro kotzer. We inject words into the pasuk to make sense out of the pasuk. That's the pshuta shel mikra. The earth was filled with a society that was immoral, and the conduct, you can't survive in business unless you're a ganav. And therefore Hashem decided to destroy the world. That's not the pshat. Because Hashem doesn't destroy the world when people misbehave. Hashem works with them. But when this behavior goes on for decades to the degree where the product of these people has gone so far where the whole society is a product of gezel, and every chair, table, and road, and car, and you turn on the electricity, it's all a product of gezel. You can't expect you're going to live in a world where everything that you are benefiting from came about through an avera, that it's now going to be a source, an object which you can utilize to serve Hashem and bring about tikkun olam, the purpose of this world. It doesn't work like that. There is no choice other than to start fresh. People can misbehave. People can do averus. There are consequences. But the world doesn't have to be destroyed. But when the people's behavior has resulted in producing products, and it takes generations for the corruption of society to go so far where the product of society, the infrastructure, is so thoroughly corrupt, that already is a point beyond return. Okay, last short idea. Mabul was delayed. There was a 7-day delay for the Mabul. The Mabul was scheduled to begin on the 10th day of Mar Cheshvan. That's what it said on the calendar. You look at the calendar, you know, there was scheduled, Mabul is scheduled on the Yud Mar Cheshvan. What happened? Delay. Misushelach died. He died. Oh, he died. Misaskim. Call up Misaskim. Let's get a Sefer Torah. Let's get Sidurim. Nosach Ashkenaz, Nosach Svart. Let's get Niti Gavriel. Let's get the whole water cooler. The Ganse Maisa. He's a tzaddik. We have to have Nichum Avelim for Misushelach for 7 days. Okay? 7 days pass.
Would he have died?
Hashem says the only one that's going into the Teva is Noach and his family. That's all it says. It's a side question. It was scheduled. It was on the calendar. It was on the calendar that the Mabul was supposed to take place on the 10th day of Mar Cheshvan. Whatever it was, Mr. Shelach dies. Achveisnish. Oh. Okay, Nichum Aveilum for 7 days. Excuse me, who are you doing Nichum Aveilum for? The world's coming to an end. The world's coming to an end. Who cares? Right, who cares? What do you care about? What's this all about? The world is coming to an end. When a store goes out of business, oh, we're gonna paint the store now? You have a store, they announce bankruptcy, we're going out of business. So, but before we go out of business, let's remodel. Let's call the contractors. We're gonna paint. We're gonna put down a new floor, new furniture. We're gonna reorganize. We're gonna put new light bulbs. No, new light bulbs. We gotta get better light bulbs, right? There's a leaky sink in the back, so we have to replace the sink. We're going out of business. Who cares about the sink? Half price. Everything is gonna be sold. What are you doing over here? The world is coming to an end. Mr. Shelach died. Is he buried in the ground? Yes, he is. Nichum Aveilim. Nichum Aveilim is for the living. Nichum Aveilim is to give Nechama. There are no living people anymore. The world is, Hashem decided the world is over. What are you doing? Mr. Shelach was buried. What are you doing? Nichum Aveilim is for Nichum Aveilim, for the mourners. It's not for the dead. The dead is gone. He's in a different place. My high. You learn from this an incredible chiddush. An incredible chiddush. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, just because you go out of business does not take away from the dignity of the living to the very, very end. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, if a company announces, we're going out of business. Okay, when are you going out of business? Next week. Or next week. Okay, but we're still going to be operating for 1 week. So you know what? Change the light bulbs. Let's have the nicest light bulbs. Paint the building. Everything should be mesuder. As long as we're still in business, there is a dignity of life. Don't take away. Hashem gave you life. Enjoy it to the fullest. Don't have a doomsday outlook because we're all going to die. The world's going to come to the end. Who cares? Who cares? It's only a week. You can stick it out for a week. Who needs there to be Nichum Aveilim? You learn from the Ribbono Shel Olam an incredible chiddush. Ki keitz kol bosar bo lefanai. We're going out of business. We've declared bankruptcy. And now there's a person who dies. The rules are, when a person dies, it's nicham avelim. Don't say, who cares? Who cares about the protocol of the value, the chashivas of life? Because we go, no, don't. That was the last lesson Hashem taught the world before it came to an end. Every moment of life has value, chashivas, and dignity in its own right. Don't make cheshbonos. And since the world is coming to an end, so the world is coming to an end, so therefore nothing matters anymore. You look at the people who died in the Holocaust, hundreds of stories like this. They preserve their dignity to the very, very last moment. They were taken to the gas chambers, and okay, they went to the gas chambers with dignity. What's the dignity? You're going to die. So what? As long as I'm alive, everything has to be bakavad. Everything has to be proper. Where do we learn this lesson from? The Ribbono Shel Olam. The world's coming to an end, yet Mishu Shelach died. There's something called Avelus. He died when the world is still, he died the day before the Mabul. That automatically demands a certain procedure to be misabel over him. That's right. The Mabul will have to wait. Because the dignity of the living still remains to the very, very last end. And it's worthy to delay even the Mabul. Can I say, we'll stop over here. Thank you for listening.